Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam sugar.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Let me hear it!
Good morning. Welcome to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show right here at Super Talk Mississippi. My name is Buddy Slowick. Going to be here until 12 o'clock or so, making all kinds of noise on the radio, just yakking with a lot of people about different things and different topics going on in their home. The show is focusing mostly on repairing and rebuilding your home or remodeling or something of that type. My guest at 10:30, very different today. We usually have Tony Arpino with Atlas Foundation on for about 5 minutes at the very first part of the show, but today he's going to be a guest on the show by phone, of course, and we're going to talk about foundation repair, slab foundations, and we'll go into a little more detail than he and I usually do. So if you have questions about that, your foundation, now would be a good time, or at 10:30 would be a good time to call Tony or to text us a line and ask him a question. I won't be watching the text or the phone line very much because I'll be talking to Tony a lot. But Lance will see anything that comes across the text line or the phone line and let us know.
I would recommend a text because once we have somebody on the phone line,
yeah,
we may drop them answering the other line. So if you do have a question, text it directly to the text line and we know what that number is, right?
Good suggestion. Yeah, that number is 601-879-4395. Text us for sure. We'd love to hear.
And I'll chime in. So if I get a text and you guys are heavy into a conversation, I'll pipe into your ear, let you know we have a question for you guys, and
sure,
then I'll throw it to you. Or you can take it off the line either way. But yeah, just shoot us a text, and I'm sure it'll be extremely informative, as Tony always is.
Yeah.
And if we're going in some great depth here, you may have some real questions about shifting and settling and things like that.
Well, kind of what brings it to mind is that we've had him on before many times, and then a lot of times after he goes off the air, we start getting texts about foundations, and we, you know, and he has the answers, not me. I want to stay away from foundations if I can. Help! run away. But Tony will be here to talk about that in a little while. Hey, post and beam construction. What is post and beam construction? Well, it's actually a very strong type building that's built with posts, and every so many feet there'll be another post and then beams across the top. And it is basically, there's a lot of hardware available today available for making post and beam construction, more today than ever was before. But post and beam can be used for many great useful things. It's like it's a great agricultural building, or maybe it's a building where you can store some cars or just it's a beautiful building. It really is strong and very, very intense. A lot of room inside. There's no walls that are holding up the ceiling at all. It's all held up by the side walls, and mostly used in agriculture and that type of situation. It's not really used very much around the house, even though some of the newer modern era type houses are post and beam construction, and particularly some of the mountain houses look like post and beam construction. Really, pretty stable little houses. I mean, they're good little houses as far as I'm concerned. Post and beam is a very good thing. Years ago, Today we use joining systems. We have clamps and we have all kinds of braces and brackets that actually will support a post and beam construction and actually help you create one if you have problems in creating. There's companies out there that make, I mean, wonderful, wonderful post and beam structural if you want, let's call them holes or braces or brackets, and they have great ways to attach them to the wood so they won't slip, and they really do a great job. So it's really worth doing. Now, years ago, maybe in the and still probably today in the Amish country and where the Quakers live and all that thing, they're still using a wood peg construction where there's no metal in there whatsoever. It's all held together by wood, and it's all kind of ingenious in a way because it's really a great system. It's a little more timely, of course, than building with a kit to build a post and beam construction, but it's a very, very, I mean, still there's a lot of post and beam houses built that way, particularly in the Amish country. That's because they just don't believe in using any kind of power tools at all. But that's okay. You know, I think we could learn from that. Some of the things that they've built and really helped over the years. Matter of fact, one of their companies is called Quaker. And Quaker is a company that makes windows and does a spectacular job. I use a lot of Quaker windows in the work that I do, so I think Quaker is it's a byproduct of the Amish country. Quaker, I'm sure, one way or other. But good windows, really good windows. But yeah, we don't use wood anymore, and it's not like we need to worry about getting that wood in the right place at the right time, and getting those pegs just right and getting the holes just right. And usually the pegs are put in place and they're made just a little bit too big to fit in the hole. Then they're pounded in place with a softer mallet, if you will, something that won't crush the wood and yet will still pound the wood into the the wood itself. Works very well. So anytime you've heard that post and beam, hey, it's a good way to go, and it's a good thing to, you know, if you need a place to store your tractor or your mobile home or maybe your airplane. Hey, yeah, that's where I keep my plane. That's where I keep my jet.
You keep your fleet my of fleet. Jets.
Yeah, right.
To be honest.
I have a large jet, a Gulfstream, and then I have a little jet, too, and then I have a full plane.
You sound like Gerard.
No, I don't have a plane, believe me. I have two vehicles, and they get me around just fine.
You know, the way I look at a plane is if you got in my vehicle... Hmm? I don't think anybody would fly with me. I don't think I would fly with me after the way I keep my vehicle. You know? I mean, because then you'd need your plane to be pretty clean. You know what I'm saying? You can't just fly around with hats everywhere and a dog in the back seat and guns and, you know, stuff rolling around. That would be deadly.
Yeah, that would. So that
I'd
would
have
be
to really of, do a good job of.
I bet if you had a plane, though, you'd be probably be more concerned about taking care of the inside of it and the way it should be.
I guess.
I guess it's
maybe. You could teach an old dog new tricks, right?
You know what, folks? I don't think we should get Lance a plane.
No, a drone would be about right. Yeah. A little, like shoebox sized drone.
There you go.
It would be like a G.I. Joe on it or something with a little cam, you know, that would be my style.
Yeah, that's the way to
handle
it.
Or when they come out with a flying car. Yeah. They've come out with those. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah, those are pretty cool, but...
again, I'd have to keep the thing a lot cleaner than I am.
They haven't got it sustainable yet where it can actually stay up in the air and go for a long way and do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, you can go from about here to the front door, and then you're like, all right, we got to charge this baby up again. Yeah. 4 hours to get to work.
Unreal.
But it would be cool. I would love to not have traffic lights.
That would be neat.
I hit every one of them.
Suppose, what, 30 or 40 years ago, that's what they thought was going to be happening today.
Yeah.
That we'd be flying around in little vehicles and not have to worry about all those.
It would be nice. I mean, you think about it, though, and the creature comforts that you would enjoy from that. Yeah. I'm sure that they would be things we can't even comprehend right
sure.
now. Same with thinking of just having the pneumatic tools we had that were so popular, the air press versus a hammer and those things, you know, how that was just almost, you know, incomprehensible to most people.
Like, oh,
wow.
For
and then
sure.
now you've gotten to the battery powered as you keep adjusting, you know, it opens up so much more opportunity.
Yeah.
I think that with the flying or floating or whatever kind of vehicles, we have no idea what, you know, benefit it would be in the
really?
Long run, but it sounds cool. And we're like, oh, yeah, I want that.
Sounds really
but
cool.
I can only imagine just leaving here and flying straight to my hunting club and then, you know, no lefts and rights. You just
I'd be at my house in like 2-3 minutes.
Be there in no time flat, man. Get a lot more work done, I think.
Yeah, really.
All the projects that we keep procrastinating.
But we don't have them, and we will in one day, I believe, we'll see them. We'll see them. But I don't think we'll see him yet.
I like, you know, to me, I'd like to have the jet pack.
Yeah.
You know,
you could fly yourself.
Yeah, you just fly around wherever if you needed to go up and check your roof.
You couldn't even get that one messy, huh?
No, yeah, exactly. There's nowhere to put anything. You know? I have to have like a sidecar for my dog, though. But you know, that would alleviate the need of getting on a ladder
yep.
and things of that nature, getting on your roof and cleaning out gutters. And again, there's so many things that are possible. That you think can sit back and go, yeah, we should have had that stuff by now.
Yeah,
but we don't.
We don't. And it's probably ready to be made and ready to go, but just not on the market yet.
Yeah, I've seen DARPA is a great entity to research. You know, the defense organization that was created back in what the 40s or 50s to ensure that America never really fell behind technologically. And,
right.
in advancements and developments and knowing what others were doing and being able to be quicker to the punch.
Sure.
But usually we're about 20 years behind
yeah.
on what has come out there in DARPA and the research and what they've perfected to about the time it gets to us in the market. The internet is one of those. The cell phone's
sure.
one of those.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they invented all this stuff.
AI is going AI, to be yeah. one of those.
Yeah. So you're starting to see. Now, AI is not profitable. In other words, you can
right.
have AI. It's just... You got all of this power in your hands, but yet they haven't figured out yet how to make it make money.
Yeah.
That'll be a very integral piece to me of AI is finding ways to monetize it and make sure that it is sustainable. Because, as you know, there'll be a lot of energy that goes into creating
oh, yeah.
a lot of water.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So, you know, it's just all of those systems that have to come together to make it an efficient and profitable endeavor. And it's just not yet. And that's...
Yeah.
You wonder, you know, if something that powerful cannot make a profit, you wonder if it ever can, or if this is going to be like a public utility where you're not really worried about profit, you're worried about its ability to solve problems. And I'm not sure we know that yet.
No, I don't think we know. We don't know all the answers to AI at all. And we're working diligently to figure that out.
And I'm curious with people like Tony who have spent such a long time and perfected the industry that they're in,
right.
how he perceives the use of technology coming into, say, foundation repair and those types of things that may help alleviate time or effort.
Well, I want to talk to him a little bit about that because I'm really not happy with slab foundations going on in this mushy soil. I mean, to me, it just doesn't make sense to build a house when you know there's going to be foundation problems on it in the future.
Well, and you know, one of my neighbors was a very high-end builder, and I remember the first house he built, and it was in our neighborhood right next door. And he went in and dug out about 30 feet of the dirt. And most of the homes in our neighborhood had a little shifting. They were built in the 70s.
Sure.
This house was built in the 80s after knowing that some of the soil, and you got much more of the Yazoo clay mindset. You understood what was going on.
Yeah.
And he dug it all out, and he would replace, you know, and he did this with every home he built. And
once sure.
That house today, still sitting right there next to my dad,
stable.
Has never moved.
Never
cracked, never shifted. So I would say my experience in watching an expert create the home before you have foundation problems,
really
dig out the dirt as deep as you can go and refill it with quality pack and go from there. But I can assure you the difference is amazing. And I'm sure Tony could you know, tell you. I mean, and again, soil tests before foundation pour, making sure that you don't have that lingering Yazoo clay up under there, because that stuff is deadly, man.
Well, all I can say is that, you know, I live in a home that's probably, it was built in the late 90s, and it's got a slab foundation, and the whole neighborhood is having some sort of foundation issue, and I have never, ever, ever had one. But I know who built the house. I know how it was built. I know how they did extra work to make the foundation stronger than it can be. And I just, to me, I think it's a can-do situation, but I just don't think it has been done. And maybe there's just certain areas we shouldn't be building houses on. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question, whether it is or, you know, all I know is that we need to build foundations that won't sag and won't sink and won't need work and you know, thousands of dollars of extra work that are unreal. We just don't need that kind of mess going on in our lives, and that can happen from time to time. All right. Foundations. Yeah, we'll get to those in a minute. We'll talk to Tony. Hey, I installed some windows this week. My crew did, and usually when we do a window replacement job like that, we run into Murphy's Law or something that is unseen and unknown, and we could have some problems coming up with it. But until that happens, you know, we'll get through it. I mean, Murphy's Law or big problems or situations, they don't bother us at all. We'll get right on through them. But this particular job that we're doing this week somehow was hassle-free. Murphy's Law didn't live there. We had no problems with the house. The windows fit like they should fit. The job went very, very smoothly. And it has a lot to do with our crew leader. Our crew leader is like, she's a female, and she looks about 12 years old. She's not. And she is just, she's a master carpenter. She really knows her thing very, very well, how to handle things, and did a spectacular job and take care of that job. Appreciate it. Jess, you did great. All right, going to take a short break. You'll listen to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show right here at Super Talk Mississippi. Coming up, Tony Arpino, Atlas Foundation. We're going to talk with him about what foundations are all about. Don't go away. Be right back.
The legendary Smokey Robinson. Legacy of Love Tour. Pearl River Resort Silver Star Convention Center, Saturday, March 14. A night featuring Smokey's unforgettable hits. Tickets on sale now at pearlriverresort.com. Don't miss the one and only Smokey Robinson live.
Planning a home improvement project? Don't let your dream renovation become a nightmare. Before you hire any contractor, remember these three essential steps. Ask to see their current state license, check their insurance coverage, and always get at least three written estimates. Visit msboc.us to verify credentials and review complaints. Your home deserves a licensed professional, because when it comes to construction, cutting corners could cost you everything. Call the Mississippi State Board of Contractors or go to msboc.us to learn more. A message from the
Hey, this is Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, take me to that river, baby. Buddy, here with you at Handyman Show, Super Talk Mississippi. My guest this segment is Tony Arpino with Atlas Foundation. Good morning, Tony. How are you today?
Hey, buddy. How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Oh, man, yeah, we can hear you. It's great to have you on board. and finally, we can talk a little bit about what's going on in foundations and what your repair system is all about and how does it work.
Okay.
So let's just kind of start there.
Okay. Well, my focus, as most folks know, when I've been on your earlier times, I've been right behind Garden Mama because I was trying to always focus on trees. And my joke is, are crepe myrtles a tree or not? Because they seem to be doing the same thing that trees do and drying the soils out near the brick homes. And so my claim to fame with Atlas, I'm the only one that advertises anything about trees. So my claim to fame is to get beneath the root influence of the tree. So we're not stopping the trees. And the joke is I used to advertise, I preserve the trees. That way we're trying to support beneath even the neighbor's trees, as I call it. They'll say, would you have any trees? And you're like, no, but my neighbor has. Well, the tree doesn't really know the property line.
A neighbor's tree may have roots that go under your house?
Not the roots. The roots will not, my thinking, will not go under.
Okay.
They hit the footing and turn.
I got you.
They're after water.
Yeah.
And so they'll dry the sponge, as I call it.
Right.
And then, as you and I have talked, many highly advertised foundation companies can't get to our depths. So you're really just treating the symptom.
Right.
And so the public will see the bricks close and think they're done. And then honest repair people in years past would know to give a 2-year warranty. Then I'd joke with the folks, well, why is this honest man giving a 2-year warranty? Well, I don't know. Well, the repair guy knows. And so they've stretched those warranties way out of shape now. But it's still the same methods that they knew to give a 2-year warranty on.
Yeah, and because the truth of the matter is a lot of foundation work is just a temporary Band-Aid or a temporary fix.
Right. The property goes up. Like you and I joked about what I describe, a log truck on a cotton field.
Yeah.
So you and I can pull that log truck out in the middle of that cotton field. We can lift that tail end of that logs, that truck, and in 1 to 3 years, the way that the logs will push the jack in the ground. Well, really, that's what goes on with these brick homes.
Right.
Folks are saying, well, I saw my bricks go up, but then they don't focus on why that brick keeps opening and closing throughout what I call the season of the year, because the repair is moving when the house is moving. Well, what have you solved? And I know the public says, well, I wrote that check. That's over. I've had it fixed. But I specialize in repairs of repairs.
Right.
And that's kind of hard to explain to folks, you know.
Right. Well, I know that you focus on repairs, but I have a question beyond that, and more like, it seems to me that everything, and this is just an opinion, is that everything isn't being done that can be done to make a slab foundation hold stable throughout its entire life. Because I've seen some houses that have been able to do that live in a questionable area.
Right. You can make it strong enough. I started off in 1986 doing, I'll call them engineered foundations.
Yes.
I was the only one in my area that did them. And so we can do many things, but truly it was very hard for the builder to explain to the consumer. And, I used to joke with the builders, well, Mr. Builder, your name is on this property. And he says, well, I've got to get the job first before my name can be on the property. And then the public doesn't understand why we're doing extra things on the new foundation. And And so then I bought the Atlas licensee in 1988. Shall we say, getting the folks I couldn't get the first time.
Right.
And the factory, when I was negotiating with the factory, they said, well, just start following behind the repairs. And I'd say, well, they say they've been repaired. Well, start following behind them. And once I saw what they were trying to say to me, then I did, from that time on, I don't want to be in, I don't want to give folks an option of, do you want it to last or you don't want it to last? I'm not one of those type of folks, you know?
Yeah. You want me to do a good job or you want me to mess it up?
And that's kind of what I compete with daily. Well, gee, this guy costs less. Well, sure, if you don't put any money in the ground, you know, you're stopping at 6 feet. And
One of my segments, I'm going to talk a lot about contractors, and one of the things I'm going to say is beware of a cost that's awfully low on any project whatsoever, because you could be running.
Many times I've missed work when I needed 4 supports,
yeah,
but the other man needed 10. And they said, well, why would he go with a guy that needs 10 and tell him you quoted 4? Well, the joke is, I'm trying to fix the problem. He is not going to come out to the site for 4 supports. Atlas, I'm Tony, will come out for 4 supports, you say, because my supports carry more weight. I need less supports. You know, it just,
from the sound of what you do, it sounds like it's going to be a big ordeal for a customer, where indeed it's really not to get it done correctly and get it done right, because you do that with just a pickup truck and a couple men and just pretty quickly in and out.
I can work in the backyards, as I call it, of courtyards. Let's say I did just one the other day where I'm working almost in the dog pen.
Sure.
You know, I'm hand carrying through 2 fences.
Right.
And I'm not showing up with equipment that has to be carried by a flatbed trailer on your head, on your driveway.
Right.
You know, so same way with what I call camp houses. Many times on the water side of a camp house, folks can't get their equipment in the backyard. Well, I have actually hand carried my equipment on top of a wooden deck, removed the planks, and lifted the concrete slab.
Wow.
So and yet still go to bridge builder depths.
Right.
And as you and I know, bridge builder depths, if you really want to know what that is, just watch them go put in a little country bridge and ask yourself why the pilings are so long.
Yeah.
They're surely a lot longer than 6 feet. And so we're going down to, with strong engineering, with a what I call a $1 billion backup. We manufacture for the electric companies coast to coast.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
What I'm also trying to get folks visualizing, as our homes go up 4 to 6% a year, people say, "Well, let's invest in the stock market." Well, the home they're in goes up pretty much every year. And
yes,
if you want to know the value of your home, just take your heated square footage times about $130, and you'll find out you live in a very expensive home.
Yeah.
What I was thinking about the other day, when I was around an 82-year-old engineer who just retired, he and I were talking. He says, "Well, I've got a bad corner, but I'm not going to worry about it." And I was trying to explain to him, and I'm going to use the exact phrasing, just a few words. He would lose control of the outcome, It's the same principle why attorneys run away from the courthouse, because they lose control of the outcome. And what I mean by that is, once anyone ever decides to fix that problem, they a lot of times will do an overkill of the property, and or in one case, for a friend of mine who's known me for 30 years from way back when, he got in what I call the grinder, and he's a very wealthy person.
Sure.
But he put it in the system, And when I spoke with him after I fixed it, well, why didn't you just call me direct? I had to put twice as many supports than I wanted to. I was forced to put twice as many supports because other folks were in control. He had lost control of the outcome.
Wow.
So once other folks, whether it be bankers or other technical people, get involved, they lose control of the outcome. They'll say, well, I'm not going to worry about this property till I sell. And I'm not selling.
Yeah.
But suppose you had a niece that wanted to go to seminary and you needed to borrow $100,000. You know, what would you borrow against and get the lowest interest rate?
Of course.
And I think that's what folks don't understand, that there's an asset. They're saying, well, I'm not worried about that. I'm not selling, so why am I worried? Well, it can affect the other room of the property. It takes away an asset that who knows why you need it, for something medical or some niece is trying to get through dental school. Wow, you know, that you need to go borrow $100,000.
Right, yeah.
And you gather where I'm coming from, buddy. They'll call me, will come out and tell me I don't have any foundation problems, so my banker will loan me money off my house.
Huh.
You know, and I said, well, why are you calling me now? Why didn't we fix that 5 years ago?
Yeah, really. Tony, before we go too far, let's get a number out there. You get your phone number out so people can write it down.
Operators are standing by. 800-256-1010. 800-256-1010.
Yeah, I think
so. And then I can a lot of times give folks a phone quote if they know the affected area and the style of construction. You know, my corner is 16 feet by 18 feet, and I can see 5 inches of concrete under the bricks and things like that. And a lot of times, if I know the area of the state, whether it be in Stone County or Horn Lake, or I may know my depths.
Foundations are different in every part of the state, and that's
different soil types.
Yes.
Different soil types acting differently. Same way in Flora, same way in 463, different soil types. And then the trees and or crepe myrtles, as I call them, can change the can dry out the sponge, shall we say?
Really, really. Well, do you think there'll ever come a time when we'll be building foundations that don't give us trouble? On soil that's questionable.
Remember, I took my soils class from a Vicksburg Colonel, as I told you once, and we used to joke that high rise, when we were calculating stuff on high rise,
sure,
high rise was easier because there was no soils to interfere with it.
Yeah, because it goes all the way
there. So a high rise has got you got air under each floor.
Yeah.
So once you set it on the ground and certain areas in a hill area, you may have nature on one side of the house and 4 foot of fill on the other side of the property. Well, you've got two different soil types acting differently. And I'm trying to get to bridge builder depths beneath those problems.
Yeah, yeah. Which, because they're different, is always everything. Means that the stuff going on them needs to be put in a different amount in a different place.
Right.
And
remember, unusual things. If folks will think a bit about the unusual, as long as it has some concrete under it. I've done some unusual things with even brick steps that are heavy enough. I'm not talking two rows. I'm talking heavy loaded, where you know there's concrete under them. But yet somehow they're not meeting the main house anymore.
Yeah, they're just.
So I've done some unusual things, and I can work and hand carry behind the shrubbery.
Tony, about running out of time. Let's have an 800 number for you again.
800-256-1010. 800-256-1010.
Tony Urpino, Atlas Repair. I hope you have a great weekend, Tony, and good to talk to you. And we'll get you on again in the near future, and I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
And thank you. And stay warm.
Okay. Take a short break. I'll be right back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Yeah, you might need a raincoat. doesn't love a good laugh and free car advice?
Well, it depends on the advice.
Tune into Under the Hood, and you can have both.
I'm Russ, along with Shannon and Chris, your host for two of the best hours you'll spend this week.
We've been the Motor Medics since 1990, and we'll tackle any question you can throw at us.
You don't have to be a car person to love Under the Hood. We've got something for everyone right here every week.
Under the Hood, Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m., right here on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Hey, this is Bob.
Is that American music or what? I mean, the heartland of America right there.
John Cougar Mellencamp, man. I mean, he's just like he hits the sweet spot.
He hits the sweet spot. He just has found the heartland of America and puts it to our face. And we like it all. I like it. It's really good.
I remember when he was known as John Cougar.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it was Mellencamp was added. I learned that was his last name.
Right.
But I was like, what is a Mellencamp?
I have a John Cougar album at home, and I think I'm sure I have John Cougar Mellencamp.
Yeah, I was a little confused out of the gate. I was fairly young, and I was like, a Mellencamp? Like, is that like a hunting club or for melons? And
what is that?
And then I learned eventually.
Where'd that come from, anyway? That doesn't seem right to me. Hey, I've always believed, and still to this day believe, that function always should be first and fashion should be second. And that's kind of how I live. My guitars are that way. They're very functional. My car is that way. It's very functional. As far as fashion, my car has enough fashion in it to keep you comfortable, but you know, that's about all. It's not full of just all sorts of luxurious things. And my guitars are not. There's nothing extra on them just to play them and be. But I believe that function is more important than fashion. Now, Frank Lloyd Wright's belief was that function and fashion should work together. Interesting concept. Anytime I've tried to make function and fashion work together, the item that I was trying to make didn't turn out as well as I hoped that it did. And to make function and fashion work together and build a particular instrument or a particular item, boy, it takes a lot of thought and a lot of engineering and a lot of, you have to really think about how it's going to be used and used regularly and how often. There's so much that goes into it. So maybe his way is better. Maybe it is better to think about function and fashion working together. And maybe it is a better way. But how do you get there? That's my question, is how do you, sure you can get professional designers and professional people involved and helping things a little better, but a lot of times you end up with overkill, too much,
you know, and maybe too much fashion and not enough function, or, you know, so that's, I don't know. I still am believing that that function is more important. And that's my thought on it. And whatever you put in or whatever you install or whatever you're building or whatever you have must be functional. It must work all the time and work properly. And if it doesn't, then something's wrong. And is it because it was made fashionable too? I don't know. I don't know. It's something to think about, though, isn't it?
Well, it's fun when you look at architecture that is supposedly from the mid-1800s and around that time, but before electricity.
Yep.
You have large, large windows.
Oh, yes.
Huge windows.
Sure.
And you see buildings now that have a lot of those that have been bricked up, especially at certain levels of the building, say street level. And
right.
But if you go back and look, some of those doorways were enormous.
Yes.
I mean, enormous. Like you could have, and you think, like, why? What was the purpose? In many cases, maybe before cars, people walked their horses in as they sat on top of
right.
a horse, and you needed the extra space. But, you know, fast forward 50 years or 70 years, people walking in there, and they have, you know, a post outside to park the horse, and then maybe, you know, so it's the functionality of things may change as times change, as generations
right.
go,
right.
And new inventions come out that throw away the need for such a large window or a large door or a building that's built a certain way.
Yeah.
So I love looking at that transition period between the 1700s and the 1800s, because construction shifts dramatically.
Oh, dramatically.
And as well, like your cathedrals and things of that nature, let's say in Europe, that took 300 years to build.
Amazing.
You know, it's amazing construction.
They did not have power tools. And,
right.
I mean, they didn't have.
In many cases, using bronze type tools in the Dark Ages and other times before, I mean, because you really had less access. And you go back even further before steel.
And they're building magnificent strong structures.
At least they claim they built them, you know. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not sure who did it. It's a absolute engineering feat.
Though. Here comes the alien theory,
folks. No, I don't mean it that way. I mean, my point is that, you know, doing the work that was done with the tools that they had is something we can't really even come close to replicating today. In the term of, say, cutting stone.
Yeah,
it's just amazing.
It doesn't add up to be sensible to us.
Right.
It just is so many other ways that go
and
about
moving things, you know, moving big pieces. It just that engineering marvel, whether these folks built it or somebody else, it's still an absolute marvel of engineering at a time when you did not have the tools of the trade that would make it so much easier.
Yeah,
they were building magnificent structures in record time as opposed to what it would take us today.
Yeah, great structures and functions have been built for years and centuries even, years and years ago. And as you said, built without power tools and built just with know-how and put some thought into it, put a lot of thought into it, and build it just the way it wants to be. That's pretty. I mean, you look at some of the things the Romans built that are still existing today and still being used today, like the aqueduct.
Sure, they're just as good as they were when they were built.
How do you do that?
I guess my point is, it's the engineering, the marvel of that, the perfection is something that would be difficult or almost impossible to achieve today, even with tools and electricity and the ability to move things logistically. It's amazing the craftsmanship. And back to your point, is it's not just functional; it also has great fashion.
Yeah.
Most of this, you're looking at things that are extremely ornate, and the stonework and the keystones and the decorative elements that are placed in there are just as important to the builder as the function of that building. And I love seeing it blended, work of art, such as a building that is also functional in every way you could imagine.
It really takes someone who's in charge of the building to be aware of everything going on at the same time and know what to do to make it the best looking, strongest building they possibly can.
Well, it's kind of like Tony with his expertise. If you let him know where you live, he'll know the soil, he'll know the depths. And having that expertise And it is very important know your job and what's coming and what you can possibly do. But yeah, those, again, I get blown away just reading and researching the architecture of that era.
It's pretty amazing. All right, you listen to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show. Coming up is national news from Fox News, and we'll also come back with a music segment in a little while. And my name is Buddy Slowick, Mississippi's Handyman. Going to take a short break. Be back. Don't you go away.
Whether you're a rebel, a bulldog, a golden eagle, or just a sports fan, Super Talk Mississippi has got a podcast for you. For you. Sports Talk Mississippi, The Rebel Report, Thunder and Lightning, the Super Talk Eagle Hour are all now available for you. And it's all free. Free. Get them all on demand at supertalk.fm and on your smartphone. Just search for Super Talk on iTunes, Google Play, or anywhere you listen to podcasts.
While most people are settling into their cubicles and sifting through their inboxes, others are busy building the foundation of the future. One brick, pipe, and electrical line at a time. The construction industry in Mississippi needs over 100,000 skilled tradespeople now. If you're looking for an in-demand, well-paying career, visit buildmississippi.com to discover rewarding careers in the trades. Buildmississippi.com. Your future is waiting. Let's build it.
Hi, I'm John.
Hello? Anybody home?
Dude, you gotta hear this.
What?
What is it?
This true force has never been fully understood.
Say, what is this?
It boils down to two simple words.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
New England clam sugar.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
Wonderful. Couldn't have said it better myself.
It's rock and roll, brother, and we're rocking tonight.
Let me hear it. Whoa!
Welcome back to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show. Who's that picture up there on the screen? Well, I'll tell you who it is in just a minute. That's the son of a great, that's the son of a legend, if you will. That's Devon Allman, and he is the son of Greg, not by Cher, by another lady, but Greg Allman's son, and he has his own band, and they did a compilation album called The Blues Spirit with Jimmy Hall, who used to be the leader of Wet Willie, who now has become a great, great blues vocalist and blues harmonica player. And he's been an artist. Devon has been an artist with the Allman Brothers Band, the Greg Allman Band, the Allman Betts Band. And that's really the sons of the Allman Brothers. And is really involved in the music scene big time. And he didn't meet his dad until he was a teenager, and he finally met his dad, Greg. And they never met one another until then. And then there was an instant bond. It's something in the water that they drank that made them be able to play the way they did that just gave them the freedom. I don't know. Something gave them the freedom that's a gift. That's what it was. It was a gift. But here's Devon Allman, Peace to the World. Let's listen to it.
Smile on your face. I'm talking to everyone in the human race. We're proud and strong.
That's Jimmy Hall singing lead on that thing, Peace of the World. And Robert Randolph plays on that album. That album is just an amazing, great, great album. Dwayne Allman. Devon Allman. I better say that right. Okay. Let's move on a little bit. Move on to an artist called Jesse Colin Young. And he was famous in the 60s for a big song by the Youngbloods called Let's Get Together, you know, Save the World, that kind of thing. But after they had relatively good success, they had one song that was an amazing, amazing hit. And then he went solo in 1970 after he started the Youngbloods. And the Youngbloods had a number of pretty good hits, and they were a pretty good band. But when Colin was younger, of course, he was born in New York City, and they moved to Boston, and he went and he played in a lot of the coffee houses in Cambridge, Massachusetts, back in the 60s and 70s, and really is a folk artist at heart, but just loves music totally. He built his own studio in Inverness, California. And it was an area which was struck by terrible, terrible wildfires. But somehow, his house and the studio never got damaged at all. And it made it through, which pretty, pretty amazing. So Jesse Colin Young, big song with a solo was called Ridgetop, Along the Ridgetop. Great. As a matter of fact, that was his music company, was called Ridgetop as well. But Jesse Colin Young, a great artist. Let's listen to Morning Sun, Jesse Colin Young. Morning Sun, good song, good artist. I have a couple of albums of his, Youngbloods. I have that album, and I also have a Jesse Colin Young album, which amazing, amazing album. Good stuff, good stuff. All right. Well, we're going to move ahead with I got to admit, it's one of my favorite groups. It really is. I mean, Lance plays it from time to time during the bumper music, and we play it probably a lot. I don't know if we do or not, but at any rate, I never get tired of it.
I play Boston a lot, honestly.
I love Boston. Just the sound is great. It really is great. The song is called Peace of Mind, but Tom Scholz is the brainchild of Boston, and he played just about the entire first album himself in his own studio basement that he built in Boston, and he built... he spent hours down there getting the sound that he wanted and getting he loved to tinker with things. He loved to make anything just better than it was. And so he had a passion for taking things apart and putting them back together again and making them better than they were. And he, that's what he did with all of his musical equipment as well. He took it all down, understood how it worked, and put it back together where it was actually in better shape when he got done with it than it was before. But he learned all the songs, got all the parts done, and Brad Depp sang most of the lead on sang the lead on everything until he passed away from cancer a few years ago. Basically, Tom Scholz is the brainchild of Boston, and he's the only original member, and he is he plays almost all the instruments that are available on stage. He doesn't, because he has to have other people playing them now when he plays live. Boston is just great. I've always enjoyed them. I think you will, too. So let's listen to Boston do Peace of Mind. So good, it's unreal. I just have trouble getting past that.
How many times have you seen them in concert?
Three.
Yeah. How does it compare to their studio work?
Lately, I've only seen them in the past 3 years. I did not see them in their earlier part, but lately, when you see them, wow, it's so much like the studio. It's unbelievable. It's that good, because he has a great Sammy Hagar's extra guitar player, other guitar player, was Phil, P-H-I-L-L, some Phil, and he's a foreigner somewhere, but he plays a guitar for Tom during the live shows, and he has some amazing, like Barbara Streisand's backup singer is playing guitar and keyboard and back and singing as well. So he has a great, great live group. They, you know, when they play, it's like, wow. Now, I didn't hear them earlier, but I'm sure they sounded pretty good earlier as well. I was too busy to go and see them earlier. But Schultz has a research and development company called Schultz Research and Development, and he's developed things like the Rockman, which is a great tool for any kind of working guitar player. Works great. Hey, we better move on. Atlanta Morissette.
Alanis.
I knew I was going to say that wrong. Alanis Morissette. Thank you. Alanis Morissette. Canadian singer, songwriter, and actress, and is queen of alternate rock and has had many hits. But let's listen to a song called Ironic. Alanis. Take this thing home with a guy called John Mayall, and John Mayall does a little bit of this blues. Greenie is the name of the song.
Nostalgia. Grammy Museum Mississippi presents 80s Rock, the wildest decade in music. Exhibit is opening Friday, September 26th. Dive into iconic memorabilia from legends like Motley Crue, Guns N' Roses, Def Leppard, and more. The 80s Rock exhibit is sponsored by Maddox Foundation, Entergy, South Delta Planning and Development District, and Visit Mississippi. To get tickets to this exhibit or learn more about other events, visit GrammyMuseumMS.org.
Thinking about that big home project? In Mississippi, the law requires a licensed contractor for residential projects, including new home construction over $50,000. Home remodeling or improvements, including roofing, over $10,000. All subcontractors performing residential, electrical, plumbing, or HVAC work on new home construction projects over $50,000 or home improvement projects over $10,000. Don't risk your investment. Visit msboc.us to verify a contractor's license today. A message.
Enjoying a health.
Yeah. kind of music you want to take it easy to.
You have some smooth stuff right there. Well, you don't want to drive too fast listening to that. Just, you don't want to move too quick.
Just
think too hard.
That's the kind of song that you end up going 40 in a 60-mile-an-hour song.
Yeah, yeah. You're just like, man, wow, I'm supposed to be going 65. People are passing me like I'm standing still.
I'm just listening to this song too much. Hey, Jeff and Brenda from Hattiesburg liked our music segment a lot. And if you have any comments on our music segment at all, pros or cons or anything at all, we'd love to hear it. It's just as important to us. You can text us at 601-879-4395.
And tell everybody the last guy, because we really didn't get to go into John Mayall, the disc that came off of Crusade.
But. John Mayall is like, wow. That one you're talking about?
Yeah. The one we just played on the album.
In the 60s was big time. I mean, big time. And he had the Blues Breakers was the group that he had called John Mayall and the Blues Breakers. And they were a solo group and been around for a long time playing a lot of good music. And then he went finally fell out as an artist and did an album called The Crusades. Great, great guitar player, great producer, great artist. Matter of fact, back in the day, was considered one of the best guitar players and best artists around. So John Mayall, I think, is something really worth talking about.
Well, thank you. I wanted a little bit more. I hated we had to kind of cut that as we were going. And I had to talk to you about Boston, though, because it's a band that I know you really enjoy.
Yeah.
And was curious if you, in your youth, were able to, you know, catch them in the heyday of their existence.
During their heyday was also my heyday.
Right, when you were partying and playing.
I was partying and playing six nights a week, and I didn't get to see them very much at
all. What drew you to Boston outside of being from that area? Obviously, that there being some connection, like a lot of people in Mississippi love the blues.
First time I was here in Mississippi, and I had that album at my house. I bought that album, and the first song that I played, I was like, from then on, I was hooked. It was like, I've never been anything but a Boston fan, big time, since then.
So you weren't, it wasn't something where you acquired that in the Northeast. You got it here.
I got it. Yeah. I got ZZQ. What can I say? That's how I got it. Boston, I think, had a big, big, big influence on rock and roll and really did it so well. So, yeah.
But, I think so. I mean, I was, as a kid, always a band that it was so, they were so tight as far as the ability to pull it all together with so much going on. The lyrics worked so well. The voice, the tone, everything just seemed to be perfect.
Yeah.
And that was always my curiosity. When you hear such a great album or you hear them in studio so, you know, so perfect. How does that translate to the live?
You know, I've sort of talked about this before, but they took their demo to a record company, and the record company said, oh, man, that's great. Let's do it. We'll get you in the studio. And they booked us studio time, and they started recording the album again. And they got the masters done. And on the release, Tom said, no, my basement tapes are better. Mm. And they put the basement tapes out and against the company's will.
Wow.
But they still did, and they were a tremendous hit.
Hey, when you know something, you know something. Yeah. You don't go, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Let my creativity suffer because you guys have all the money. He said, no, man, I got this.
I got that. I got
it. You know, isn't that fascinating, though?
You may have this big old expensive studio, but I got one in the basement that's great. Does everything I wanted to do and more.
And his ability to isolate each instrument, play them so effectively. And then mix it together and have the lyricist, the singer, piped in. I mean, that to me is way ahead of its time. You see it much more now, I think, in the isolation rather than recording together. You isolate sound so that you can pull it together the way you want. But thinking that way then was not necessarily how things were being done, I don't think.
Schultz has a master's degree from MIT in engineering. Schultz, Tom Schultz.
Yeah.
So he understands how things are put together And it, like I said, he's a big tinker, loves taking apart models and putting them back together and all that kind of thing. Always, his whole life, he did that. His go-kart and his father was a very, very successful home builder in Ohio. And Tom learned a lot about home building as well and how things are put together structurally. And
as a musician, it seems that it would be very difficult to record in studio with everybody together and everybody having to be on time. Everything got to be so tight. I guess if you toured together a lot and you had that natural feel, you could look at each other and know when things are about to happen. But it seems it would be very difficult to have that cleanliness naturally occurring in a studio with five people sitting there playing. Seems like it would be much easier to isolate each sound and then bring them together later. But you would hear of people staying in the studio all day and recording one song.
Hours
and hours. And then you hear people going, we hit it on the first one and we were out. So, I guess if you got it. If you don't, you don't, maybe.
I think that's Marty Robbins does that. He goes to the studio one time and just pops, doesn't practice, doesn't do anything, just, what song? That song? Okay, let's do it. No, let's do a take.
That's amazing to me.
And just does it right and walks away. And that's amazing.
Well, it's not like building in any project, trying to build it all at one time, looking so big.
Yeah.
You break it down into pieces and parts and you isolate things at times. Like there's a step-by-step process to getting things done correctly, and there's always a way that you can screw it up by skipping steps. But I think it's, you're talking about his dad being a home builder and him being an engineer. You would have to imagine him growing up with that, seeing things taken apart and put back together. Mindset had to be extremely helpful in his ability to master the musical world.
Well, when he was in the process in his basement tapes building this record, his father came to him and said, Tom, you got this great degree. Why don't you get a real job?
I'm going to make a lot more money doing this.
And Tom said, come on, Dad, go away.
The other side, I was always curious, and maybe you know the answer, who was in charge of their cover art? Because they came up with some amazing stuff.
Their backdrops on their live show is the same. It just blows you away. Their backdrops are so good.
They're vivid. They're unique. You have a spacey feel. That was one of the things that really drew me as a kid toward Boston was
being the engineer that he was. I think he knew how to get to the people who could do that kind of project.
I just never have seen the creator. And leading. But I was always fascinated with how everything seemed to be so well done with Boston.
Yeah.
Just everything. Top
notch all the way.
All right. Well, we digress, but yeah.
All right. Moving on with handyman.
We have stuff to do.
We have stuff. Yeah, we're going to do some handyman stuff.
We're getting around to it.
Hey, deadbolts in your security system. You have deadbolts and you have key locks. And key locks are really the doorknob down below, and the deadbolt is up top, which is lockable. The deadbolt offers much more security than a key lock does because the throw actually goes into the wall a lot deeper than any kind of key lock does. Key lock only goes in maybe 3/4 of an inch, whereas a deadbolt goes in maybe 2 or 3 inches. Plus, on top of that, if you take some long screws and put them in your striker plate that your deadbolt actually lands on, then what happens is your striker plate is not only attached to your door frame, but it's also attached to your structural timbers inside, your 2x4s or whatever inside, and it gives you so much more strength. So, I think just being aware of the things that we have that already give us some home security, that we should be making sure that we use each and every one of them every way we can. And it's important that we do just that. So, deadbolts offer a whole lot more strength than not having a deadbolt or just having a key lock. All right, Rebel Ace Hardware, one of the better hardware stores, the sound of my voice. They do a great job at Rebel Ace Hardware. You go to any Rebel Ace Hardware today, you'll find them wide open from 7 in the morning until 6 in the evening at least. And they've got the items that you want and the service that you'll be blown away by the service because it's so good. But also, in next to their hardware store in Pearl is their power equipment center, which is full of good repair parts. Can repair just about any Gravely or you name it, and they can repair it. And Revel Ace Hardware is a great, great hardware store. They're all over Central Mississippi and repair everything they sell. So if you buy an E-mower, is it called?
Mm.
Is that what it's called?
Which one?
The electric mower.
Oh, the Egos or whatever.
The Ego, that's what it's called, Ego.
I have a different name brand that I've been happy with. They didn't sell it at Revel Ace, but right. This was more of a knockoff, cheaper version. I didn't know if I really wanted to go that route, but I would go in and get a good one. I mean, this one is great, but I mean, the best quality ones are even better than what I have, and they sell them there. And that leads me to one point we had on our text line earlier from Gerald in Oxford, and that was, good morning. I have two tankless hot water heaters in our new house. When temperatures drop around 40 or below, we have difficulty getting water to get hot and stay hot. It bounces back and forth between hot and cold and will eventually stay hot after about 5 or 10 minutes. I've been told I may need to add electrical tape to the water lines in the unit and insulate the pipes. I currently just have a big piece of insulation covering the pipes. Buddy, do you have any thoughts on this? Thank you, Gerald in Oxford.
Wow. Some hot water heaters.
And this is a tankless, yeah.
Tankless hot water heaters are hooked up to heat pumps. And when they're hooked up to heat pumps, that's the kind of problems you're going to have from time to time because the heat pump can only be consistent so often. And that would be the only answer I could have. Other than that, yes, I would definitely make sure the pipes are well insulated. Whether that'll help or not, I don't know. But I would make sure the pipe wrap and ties on that pipe, just make sure all the pipe wrap is really tight. And once you have that started, I don't know. I might call the manufacturer on that one and just ask them what the situation is with not producing the water that you thought that it would.
Yeah, because
produce.
A tankless should not be what you're dealing with, generally speaking, is that kind of wait time and the intermittency.
It should stay hot. It should stay hot.
I think that point you made, I was having a hard time thinking through this until you mentioned heat pump.
Yeah.
And that, I'm not sure, it's a new home,
yep.
So I'm not sure if that's what they're working with, but that may be one of the things, is having an issue with the regulation of the heat coming in.
Right. That's what happens when you hook up a tankless hot water heater to a heat pump. And a lot of tankless hot water heaters are hooked up to heat pumps and do have that same problem from time to
Interesting.
Time.
Interesting. I did not know that. Yeah. Thank you for because I had a heat pump in a home I had in Oxford.
Uh-huh.
An older home.
Yeah.
And it worked great for what I needed. But I just had an old tank hot water heater. Yeah. It was the old school, probably put in the 80s or something.
Yeah.
You know, I never had to replace it, but never really had any trouble with that.
Yeah, I've never had a heat pump.
Somebody
told me, though,
that in that home it may not be best to put in a tankless,
because
it was something I considered as I remodeled it, and I didn't know why. But it may have been because of the heat pump that was running everything.
It may have been. It may have been the heat pump, and then it may have been also that there'd be so much plumbing that needed to be done to make that thing work properly. In other words, tankless water heaters need 3/4-inch pipe coming into them to allow enough liquid inside, whereas generally we use like a 1/2-inch pipe. So
could that be any issue that Gerald may be having, do you think?
It could very well be, but it depends. If somebody who put in that heat pump knows what they're doing, that should not be an issue. But you know how the world runs. Yeah. Anybody could have put that thing in.
Yeah.
So,
amen.
Gerald, I wish I could answer your question. Maybe some plumber is listening and they can answer your question as well. So send us an answer text it to us at 601-879-4395. All right, you're listening to the Rock and Roll Handyman Show here on Super Talk Mississippi. Going to take a short break and be back. Don't you go away. Be right with you. Thank you.
Richard Cross from Super Talk Mississippi. Every afternoon at 5, join Sports Talk Mississippi for the College Football Fix, driven by Ford and your local Mississippi Ford dealers. Speaking of Ford, how do you earn a tradition of leadership? You put in the work with outstanding towing and hauling. Innovate with smart features like mobile generator and dominate the game 48 years straight. That's Ford F-Series, America's best-selling trucks. A legacy of excellence only at your local Mississippi Ford dealers.
Pine Grove Behavioral Health and Addiction Services, located in Hattiesburg, is one of the nation's most comprehensive treatment campuses. Pine Grove provides the highest quality mental health care and addiction treatment for children, adolescents, and adults. Pine Grove offers many levels of care, including inpatient and outpatient treatment for children and adolescents. If you have any questions, please call 1-888-574-HOPE and visit pinegrovetreatment.com.
In Mississippi.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that looks like the music he plays.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
No, I mean, he's absolutely syncs up perfectly. You know, like this whole career, the music, it's just such an edge to it, you know, and he has that. Yeah, this guy's
for
he's
sure.
He's a unique fella.
Rock and roll just has a strange habit of grabbing some people and holding them their entire life, and it just won't let go. Just won't let go at all.
Again, that was when Perez was known for playing that song at least once a week for as many years as a producer. And when I first took over for his role with Paul, I got a couple of texts like the first day saying, "Hey man, are you going to play Stranglehold?" I didn't get it at first, and about a week later, I started getting some texts going, you know, he played it at least once a day or at least more than once a week, so you're going to have to pick it up. So I went in there and cut up my own version or two or three of it so that I had several, and I said, all right, I'm going to start playing Strangle. And I love the song, but I just didn't know there was such a history, you know, here. But Perez, what a music man. I mean, if you ever go in there to the production room and look at the list.
Such great taste.
I have no idea what he's working with. I mean, this guy is absolutely a savant.
Well, he's got so much history.
Well, in the era that he grew up to, he has such a depth of knowledge of people, of unique songs that you didn't know existed by a certain artist that's extremely popular. Nelly always says, you know, finding new ways of doing things.
Yeah.
And I definitely find a lot of, I learned from you a lot in music, and with Perez just following behind him and seeing what he's downloaded.
It's amazing.
The library in his brain I got a big library, but his is amazing.
What kind of blows you away is, and he finds this stuff, and I find some of it too, but he finds more of it than I do, and that's jewels that are hidden on an album somewhere that don't become hits.
Yeah, that's what I'm my point. Yeah.
Absolute jewels.
Yes, it blows me away that you know, he even remembers these from when they came out.
Yeah.
Too. And having that versatility.
Yeah.
He was a comedian, basically, too. You know? I mean, he's such a funny guy, but also extremely intelligent. Yeah. And the music layer is just...
But he hides that very well.
He won't talk to you much. He likes to make you wonder what he's thinking. And I like that in people when they don't tell you everything. It keeps you guessing. But no, I wanted to give him a shout out, too, because both of y'all have such great depth of music, and your son has given us some great songs as well.
He really has
to dig in on ones that bands I have not heard of, and go, wow, man, thank you. So any of you out there that have given us some suggestions, and Greatly appreciated.
My son has been so tied up lately with his new child. They have a new child named Charlie, Charlie Girl, and he loves Charlie so much that I don't hear from him much anymore, and we don't communicate like we did before.
He's a little tied up being a pop.
He likes being a pop, and she likes being a mom.
Now, has he had the time to get his running in?
He's running a marathon tomorrow in Arkansas.
Okay, is he running to Arkansas? Is that
No, here's the deal. They're driving to Arkansas. They're going to run a marathon, and he wants to get home on time to see the Patriots Sunday afternoon.
Why not? That's going
to
be.
His wife said, "Shelby, David, we're not going to be able to do that." And David said, "We're going to do that.
We got this, hon. You just leave it up to me, hon."
That's about what he told her.
When you get motivated, it's amazing the things that you can accomplish when there's motivation and spirit to it. And to your point, you have the Patriots. They will be on at 2:00 on the 18th. So that's a quick turnaround.
That's tomorrow. That's Sunday afternoon. Yeah,
he's gonna be booking it back.
I think today is a game as well. That's gonna be.
You have two games today: the Broncos and the Bills.
Oh,
that one comes on at 3:30, and then the other game on the 17th. It's going to be the Seahawks and the 49ers tonight at 7. The Seahawks are a 7-point favorite over the Niners, and you have the Broncos and Bills game where Denver is a 1.5-point favorite over the Bills. So
I think they're all going to be great games.
You know, then you got Patriots-Texans tomorrow at 2:00, and then the Bears-Rams, the nightcap tomorrow night at 5:30. All the lines are within a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, you know, you expect every game to be fairly competitive and maybe even come down to who has the ball last.
We're getting down to the bottom of the football.
Hey, Patriots have had one heck of a season too. Yeah, I mean, you know, really it had been a while.
Yeah,
it had been a little bit. 14-3 in the NFL, 6-3.
You know, can't argue with that at all,
buddy. That's a heck of a. You know, Houston had a pretty good season, 12-5. But I mean, the Patriots to me were the surprise of the season. Quite frankly.
Yeah.
Most everybody else, you kind of expected Chicago to be a much better team this
year. They stumbled a little bit, taking off.
But you know, the Patriots with May and, you know, just seemingly they kind of got it together this year.
They got it together for sure.
You know, good for you, Northeasterners. That's got to be your team.
Good for them.
I wish they'd go back to the old helmet, though, with the old dude sitting there, like, about to hut the ball. You know, the old white helmet with the guy like Steve Grogan era. I love that.
There you go. There you go. Well, we better move on with some handyman stuff. We're about running out of time anyway. But then we're going to try some handyman stuff. We'll try to get it done. A lot of people used to use, like, chimneys for outside fire, and they'd get out there and hustle, stand around the chimney and try to get warm. But nowadays, people are using, like, what's called fire pits, and they're enjoying them more than a chimney. One, because it has more flame and more heat, and two, you can gather more people around it and really enjoy a fire pit a great deal, even if you're out there by yourself. As Lance Wells knows, a fire pit is a great, great, great thing to have.
I just split a little wood yesterday or day before and went on and teepeed it up in the fire pit. You know,
how did you split your wood?
I have a maul.
Yeah.
I'll cut some pieces and then let them dry out for a while, and then just take the heavy maul and pop them.
Yeah.
With the blade side, and you know, get them in quartered up.
That's always fun. Yeah, that's fun to do anyway.
It is. I love having the fire pit. It's one of those treats. Literally, you know, you just get to sit out there.
Oh, with fire the stars pit. Yeah. Oh, for sure.
And to me, I like the fire. I've had the chimneys for years, and you know, they'll eventually kind of crack or something.
Yeah.
I mean, a fire pit's going to go bad too at some point, but it just seems to be much more enjoyable because you kind of get to kick back and look up and enjoy the sky and the surroundings, and you're not so focused on that little hole in
right.
the chimney.
And you're you just seem to be a little warmer too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the fire pit, I love
it. I like fire pits.
I bought one for like $100 online.
Yeah.
Came in like a day.
Wow.
Screwed it together, and you know, it looks great. So, I mean, if you're looking to get a fire pit, go out on like Amazon or something and there's some really good price ones out there for about $100.
I got one of those units that you have to preassemble. That's already pre-cut and pre-drilled.
That's what mine is
from Amazon. I think it came from. It was a. I've never seen anything that went together so easy.
Oh, mine was just...
The directions were just clear as a bell and was easy to put together. And that's rare as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the same way. I got it thinking it was going to be in Dutch or something, and you couldn't, like, where did this thing come from?
Yeah.
But no, it was just, I mean, it took me about Piece 5 minutes, cake. And I was burning stuff in it 5 minutes later, you know?
I mean, I didn't even need tools to assemble this. They sent the tools with it, and it came as part of it, and it was easy. It did take some time to put together now, but it was step-by-step simple directions. Liked it very well. And directions, as far as you know, I always believe in good directions. Handyman Show, we do it every Saturday from 10 to 12 here on Super Talk Mississippi. My name is Buddy Slowick, Mississippi's Handyman, and I hope you join us next Saturday on the Handyman Show right here at Super Talk Mississippi. Thanks, Lance.
You man, take it easy.
We're on our way to Boston to get some clam chowder. Bye-bye.
Planning a home improvement project? Don't let your dream renovation become a nightmare. Before you hire any contractor, remember these three essential steps. Ask to see their current state license, check their insurance coverage, and always get at least 3 written estimates. Visit msboc.us to verify credentials and review complaints. Your home deserves a licensed professional because when it comes to construction, cutting corners could cost you everything. Call the Mississippi State Board of Contractors or go to msboc.us to learn more. A message from the Mississippi State Board of Contractors.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Are customers able to find you online? With the power of STMM Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. STMM Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305. Or go to stmmdigital.com to get started.
We've sent that Rip Van Winkle guy to the dentist.
Hey, what? Hey, what?
And what's worse than a trip to the dentist? Your wife's paint project that you've put off. Let Seabrook Paint in Jackson and Ridgeland find that Benjamin Moore paint and a contractor that will get you back doing the important things in life, like grilling and watching sports. Seabrook, Benjamin Moore paint, and a happy wife, happy life. Seabrook Paint in Jackson on Monument and in Ridgeland on West Jackson.
First down. All
Britain's Jewelers. When love requires a gift, nothing says it better than All Britain's. Since 1920, we've been part of your family. From weddings and anniversaries to holidays, we've been there for every special occasion. At All Britain's, we value your trust. Every gift, whether large or small, is a reflection of our commitment to quality and excellence. There's a reason we're still Mississippi's foremost diamond merchant. Let us show you why. All Britain's Jewelry, 4460 Old Canton Road in Jackson.
All Britain's Jewelers.
Your home. A Super Talk Mississippi media production.